Today, it's the Federal News Countdown, and as always, a good time to be had on the Federal News Countdown with the two folks who have chosen the most important federal news stories of the week, ranked them in order from number three to number one, and are ready to count them down with me on the Federal News Countdown today. In studio with me to do that very thing is Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Good to see you as always.
Good afternoon, Francis.
It's great to have you back on the program today. I've got different mics in different places today, so we're gonna do a little bit of testing here. And Alan Paller of the Sands Institute is here. And Alan, it's good to have you back on the show again, as always.
Great to be back.
All right, we're going to work on yours, Alan, and get you squared away here in just a second. But we are going to start, as we always do on the Federal News Countdown, with the third most important federal news story of the week, known as...
Number three!
And the third most important story from Larry Allen is from Information Week, and it's headlined, Van Roekel Details Government Mobile Strategy at CES. And I thought the mobile strategy was interesting. I thought the selection of CES was also interesting, especially since this is the second major speech that he's given that he's chosen to go outside the Beltway to give.
Well, absolutely, Francis, and it underscores just how much the federal government is involved in the Computer Electronics Show. This is the largest U.S.-based show for the IT industry. You have Steve Van Roekel, the new federal CIO, out making a major policy announcement. And I think, as you pointed out, that the form and location for that is as notable as what he said about mobile strategy inside of government. What he said about mobile strategy and government was interesting as well, because one of the first things he emphasized was leveraging the U.S. government's collective buying power to influence the development of mobile technology. And that's something we really haven't heard about in the federal marketplace since the 1980s. So, you know, people in industry are used to hearing for the last 25 years that, look, we're going to be buying commercial off-the-shelf software and hardware in the federal government. We're really looking for commercial solutions. So rather than the government driving the market, the government actually taking advantage of what's the best in the commercial market, Van Roekel's opening comment seemed to take that dynamic and shift it 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned before we went on the air that he was at a luncheon here in Washington today hosted by a firm, and that lunch was moderated by Darren Ashe. And Darren will be on the program with me later this afternoon to talk about what Steve Van Roekel had to say. But starting off a mobility strategy is interesting. He looks to be throwing it pretty wide open, though, and asking for a lot of people to give input into this.
Well, right. The first thing that he talked about, in fact, was how do you integrate a mobility strategy into the government market? Mm-hmm. So it's not really, you know, it's very strategic level type of stuff. And you start with that, and you talk about things like building the mobile technologies around what the needs are. So, you know, so far so good getting that in the right order. And then how do you manage it? And interestingly, right here at number three, Francis, and we were talking, it's the federal CIO, mm-hmm. and he's talking about mobile use of mobile technology in the government. Number three on his list of top six priorities how do you manage the acquisition of this type of stuff. So right away we get into government procurement and contracting, mm-hmm. and an acknowledgement that how the government buys these things is just as important as how it gets integrated into the overall fabric of the operation of each agency.
Larry Allen, story number three in the countdown is from Information Week. The headline is Van Roekel Details Government Mobile Strategy at CES. Alan Paller, your third most important federal news story of the week is from Federal News Radio. It's Jason Miller's story headlined, FedRAMP includes 168 security controls. Are you surprised that this level of detail is in FedRAMP this fast?
No, that wasn't why it was important. This is a story that is probably the purest example of grasping defeat from the jaws of victory that the federal government has ever done in procurement. So I'm really glad Larry's here because he can add to this.
Mm-hmm.
The great value that the FedRAMP gave the government was it could set some minimum standards for security.
Mm-hmm.
And where they couldn't do that across agencies because there are all the problems, they're buying new systems, they could put them in and they could get them. Or the original draft of FedRAMP said, no, we're not going to do any of that. What we're going to do is have them write a report about possible problems and have people accept the risk. And there are 168 controls that we hope they'll write a report about. And so Vivek called a meeting in the White House saying, I don't think so. And he brought John Gilligan in and me in, and John really helped brief them. They all got it and had a follow-up meeting. And then they left it.
Mm-hmm.
They left it with – and so what they've got now is a situation where you can write a report, not fix anything, just write a report, and you're approved. And then you have to have a plan for fixing them, but no one – what the head of the one of the major defense agencies calls this, they call it a credit and forget it. Because you say it's okay, but you never fix the things. This is crazy. This is and the joy of federal procurement is you got $80 billion. The vendors want that money.
Mm-hmm.
So they're willing to build security in if you ask them for it. So it's not like you were trying to climb a very steep hill, but they didn't do it. So this is just a silly error that the government made. I hope they fix it.
How do you fix it? What do you do?
You do what the Brits do. But we're going to talk about that next.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
You are like a broadcast professional. You're teasing the audience. That's terrific. The concept of FedRAMP all along has been, we'll set this structure. So you're saying there's not really a structure that's set.
No, this is the same as FISMA reporting, which Senator Carper held hearings. Is it completely wasted? All those reports are wasted money. No one ever reads them.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same situation here. We've just taken this broken system and applied it to the cloud, which is the one place where we had contractual capability to actually get great security. When you buy security, common security across different systems, you get much cheaper good security. So it was really a huge opportunity lost for America.
The solution to that, as you mentioned, something we'll talk about when we continue. That's Alan Paller's third most important federal news story of the week. It's from Jason Miller on federalnewsradio.com. The headline is FedRAMP includes 168 security controls. All the stories that Alan Paller and Larry Allen have chosen on the Federal News Countdown are linked up now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. When the program continues, the second most important federal news story of the week is chosen by my guests on the Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
And Caps beat reporter from Comcast Sportsnet. Want to see hockey from a woman's perspective? Then visit scarletcaps.com to sign up for Club Scarlet for free. Members receive an exclusive newsletter, a chance to win great prizes, and invitations to members-only events, including hockey and heels. Check out scarletcaps.com for the latest blogs and info. To join, log on to scarletcaps.com now.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Moving your enterprise to the cloud doesn't mean you have to let go of IT control. With BMC's proven cloud lifecycle management from IronBow, you can visualize and manage data and applications in public, private, or hybrid clouds through a single pane of glass. It gives you the control you need to deliver peak performance for users. Find out more about BMC Cloud Lifecycle Management and the BMC Public Sector Forum at IronBow.com. Keep your IT in view and under control in the cloud.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join my partner, John Dedon, as he interviews Kevin Hanford of Hanford Financial, Certified Financial Planner, this Saturday. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. To learn more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Monday's Federal Drive. We'll hear from the federal CIO, Stephen Van Roekel. He's pushing and also updating an agenda to wring more value out of the $80 billion the government spends on IT every year. Plus, the Army Center for Lessons Learned will tell us how the experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan are being absorbed. Those stories and more Monday morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
We're back now on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The Federal News Countdown features the three most important federal news stories of the week, as selected by two people who are experts in the world of the federal government. This week, my experts are Alan Paller of the Sands Institute and Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners. And we are up to
number two.
The second most important federal news story of the week, as selected by Alan Paller, is from federalnewsradio.com, and it's headlined, Agencies Struggle with Continuous Monitoring Mandate. It's Jason Miller's story. And why do you think the continuous monitoring, Alan, for all the talk that it's gotten, and I think it's become one of the buzzwords in security and government, why is this so hard for the agencies to do?
You're right. It is one of the buzzwords. It's in each of the bills. Congressional testimony on it, lots of stuff. The answer is that it is a contrasting system to the system that a lot of people are making a lot of money on.
Mm-hmm.
And when a lot of people are making a lot of money doing something else, it's hard for them to switch to the new system.
Mm-hmm.
And since the contractors that make the money doing something else are also the contractors supporting the chief security officers,
yep.
They don't help.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've got is this claim that it's very expensive. And Jason broke another story today. The timing for this is just perfect. He broke a story today that a man named John Streufert, who is the chief security officer at the Department of State,
mm-hmm.
was becoming the head of the National Cybersecurity Division. OMB delegated all FISMA compliance to the National Cybersecurity Division. John Streufert is the one person in government who showed how you do continuous monitoring inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ability of agencies and contractors to slow roll this has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
This has never been a money problem. This has always been a motivation problem.
So it's poorly incented is what you're telling me.
You couldn't overcome the amount of money they were making writing reports.
Mm-hmm.
It will take very close management, and you get that if Streufert moves to Department of Homeland Security.
And we have that story up. It's one of our top stories now on federalnewsradio.com. DHS has confirmed the email that we obtained is authentic, naming him to that post. He's replacing Nicole Dean. She's leaving government next Friday to go to work for Raytheon. John Streufert starting in that job on Tuesday. And, Larry, as we talked about a few minutes ago, there's always overlap with the acquisition community in these kinds of things. What do you see here that would change the dynamic that Alan's talking about, where companies are making too much money to want to change on their own?
Well, a lot of times what happens, Francis, is this type of thing can be shifted, ironically, by putting the onus on the contractor to perform the continuous monitoring, kind of an outsourced service. We know that's not without its controversy right now, but that would be one way to affect this change. And a lot of times what happens if you find requirements that federal agencies either don't want to do or don't feel that they have the bandwidth to accomplish, it rolls right next door to the contractor that's providing support for them on something closely related. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to come at it. I think another
way. By the way, that there are two contractors that I know of that are doing exactly that, and their customers are really happy. So as soon as the contractors figure out they can make more money in continuous monitoring, they could make writing the reports, mm-hmm. they move very quickly. Or when they figure out, which is what's happening, they can take away the business from the contractor who hasn't moved. They're moving very quickly mm-hmm. into continuous monitoring. But
no,
Larry's exactly right.
I think that's, you know, the good ham and egg.
continuous monitoring, you mentioned, Alan, is written into every piece of cyber legislation that's on the Hill right now. What else is included in a lot of that legislation that we may actually see this session? Senator Reid has said he's going to push something through. So what are we likely to see in whatever makes it out of either side of the side of the Congress?
Clearly, FISMA reform and continuous monitoring is a big one. There's also going to be in that bill a section on incenting the critical infrastructure to share data about vulnerabilities and to get those vulnerabilities fixed. And there's also going to be a section on management of cybersecurity by putting a Senate-confirmed person in the White House where Howard Schmidt is. Those are the three big ones. I think there are a couple more. But that bill is going to have a good chance, was going to have a good chance in the Senate until this morning when someone, one of the contractors, I think it was Bob, I'm not sure who it was, but said, oh, wait, there's a problem here that says if the contractor doesn't have his security up to speed, the government can take over mm-hmm. the computers. And I think the contractors are going to be up in arms about that, and that might slow down the momentum in the Senate.
We're going to set a record now for the most number of times mentioning the name Jason Miller on the countdown today.
He's doing wonderful. He's just doing amazing.
That's a story he had on my show yesterday, is the legislation looks like that exactly the way you said it, exactly the way you framed it, that the government would potentially have the ability to literally take over the computers of contractors who weren't providing security to the level that it's supposed to be provided. And that story is also up on federalnewsradio.com. Alan Paller's second most important federal news story of the week is headlined Agencies Struggle with Continuous Monitoring Mandate. And you can read it and all of our countdown stories at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Larry Allen's second most important federal news story of the week is next on the Federal News Countdown on In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
When you build the world's most complex ships for the U.S. Navy and U.S. Coast Guard, there's no question you know how to do the hard stuff right. At Huntington Ingalls Industries, it's what we do every day. We are a 125-year-old new company built upon the foundation of two legends, Newport News Shipbuilding and Ingalls Shipbuilding, with an unwavering focus on safety, quality, cost, and schedule. Huntington Ingalls Industries. Hard stuff done right. Visit HuntingtonIngalls.com today.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, I've been learning about HD radio technology at HDradio.com, and I'd like to see what kind of HD radio receivers are available.
Easy answer. Here at Best Buy, we sell all kinds of HD radio receivers. Home, portables, car, boom boxes with iPod docking.
Cool. Are they expensive?
Nope. This Insignia portable HD radio player is only $49.99, and there's no subscription to listen to HD radio stations.
Sweet. Let's get started.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
Meeting Mission Goals Through Health, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Protected Health Information, or PHI, remains at risk as healthcare providers make the move to mobile. According to the second annual benchmark study on patient privacy and data security, 81% of healthcare providers say they use tablets, smartphones, and mobile applications to collect, store, or transmit health information. But 49% of those admit they're not taking steps to secure their mobile devices. Resulting data breaches and identity theft cost the healthcare industry billions.
General Dynamics
IT is meeting the challenges of a complex healthcare environment that requires far-reaching experience and full-spectrum capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics IT's health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics IT's broad understanding of healthcare data, military health missions, fraud, waste, and abuse protection, and more ensures support and innovation tailored to your real-world needs. Today's healthcare challenges are formidable. To learn more, go to GDIT.com.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Losing and staying lost. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Losing weight can be difficult, and keeping it off can be no easier. But a study indicates it can be done with help. At Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, Dr. Lawrence Apple examined data on obese people. Some got support from trained weight loss coaches by phone, web, and email. Others got help that way and also got in-person coaching. Apple says both groups benefited.
Roughly 40% of participants in both groups lost 5% of their weight. That means if they started off at 200 pounds, they lost 10 pounds, and they kept, on average, 10 pounds off.
The study, supported by the National Institutes of Health, was presented at an American Heart Association meeting and published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
As agencies await the release of the federal budget for fiscal year 13, they must learn to do more with less. To meet OMB's shared first model, agencies need to accurately measure the effectiveness of their IT portfolio beyond cloud and the FDCCI. Join FCA Bethesda on January 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott as agencies outline 3 key areas of governance: creating IT efficiencies and cost savings, policy and trends, and IT oversight. Register today at fciabethesda.org/JANbreakfast.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is the Federal News Countdown. Every week, two people who are experts in the world of the federal government choose the news stories they think are most important to people who work in the government, rank them in order from 3 to 1, and we count them down on the Federal News Countdown. Alan Paller of the Sands Institute and Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners are my experts on the Countdown panel today. And Larry Allen, your story number 2 is from federalnewsradio.com. The headline, Air Force marks 4,500 more civilian jobs for elimination. We have, since this story came out on Wednesday, our Jack Moore has this story, but since this story has come out, we've had the Transportation Security Administration, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, I mean, IRS. It's almost like every agency, GSA, is asking for authority to do this. This is not going to end anytime soon, is it?
No, and that's why I picked it as one of my top 3 stories, Francis. And you're exactly right. This Air Force story is just the poster child that I chose to hung this issue around, because we really are seeing more and more reductions in force, more and more agencies going out for buyouts. This is something that started in the federal government about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that people like me have been telling government contractors about, because it could affect their business profoundly, but in a couple of different ways that are highly dependent on what part of the market they're in. If you're providing things, for example, like chairs and consumable supplies, there are going to be fewer people to sit in the chairs and fewer people to use the consumable supplies mm-hmm. that you're selling. And you got to figure out what that means for your business from the contractor side of things. If you're a professional service provider, being able to sort out the anti-outsourcing rhetoric from the reality that the government, in this case the Air Force, still has a critical mission that it is obligated to perform. And it probably going to be performed to some extent by contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those contractors aren't going to necessarily be welcomed into the front door with open arms because of some of the sensitivities around that. But hey, look, we still, as taxpayers, are asking our government to provide certain basic services. Somebody's going to have to provide those. So it really kind of depends. But, you know, overall, if you're in the government market and you're looking at selling to a shrinking customer, this is not your best news story.
Yeah, yeah. I have a theory about this, Alan, and I want to run it by you and see if you agree. It seems to me that this is a prelude to the discussion that will happen in about a month on Capitol Hill about the budget request for 2013, where agencies are going to Congress and they're going to be able to hold up their list of buyouts and say, listen, this is how we're trying to rearrange what we're doing. And so this should give you justification that we are trying to manage our business and meet our mission in a responsible way. So give us the money that we're asking for. I'm not judging whether that will fly or not on Capitol Hill, but that's my theory, that the agencies are starting to try to manage expectations to some degree by doing these buyouts.
Well, I think the first way they're doing it right now, privately with the people they know on the Hill, is taking the four or five missions that they know the Hill cares most about,
mm-hmm.
and saying, we're going to have to cut this one back. And you might think they're playing games, but it turns out they're not. I was sitting in a meeting with basically all the seniors in the Air Force about cyber, and these cutbacks are real, and they're cutting deeply into the only people in the Air Force who can do this kind of work. It probably will move to contractors,
mm-hmm.
but they're these wonderful people built inside. So I think they're going to try the way they're doing it first. Second way they'll try is your way, but it doesn't look like any of it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning when they got all done with all the screaming, the answer was those guys have to go.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the way the government will have to look after the necessary cuts happen, just by doing math, not by judging what the missions of the agencies are or any of that, if we're going to get to a balanced budget and eventually start to try to pay down debt, I'm not sure everybody still has a realistic grasp of what that potentially could look like. Do you?
It's going to be a very different government from the one that we've been used to looking at even in the most recent past, Francis. And what that means, I think, ironically, it ties into the first story that we talked about here with Steve Van Roekel and mobility, and that is, you know, how do you use technology to make the people that you do have more efficient, more flexible? How do you make sure that you're getting the right people and no more than the right number of people into that critical emerging mission at the exact right time? It calls for a fundamentally different skill set in the entire federal workforce, not just the acquisition workforce. People who are capable of multitasking, have multiple experiences, not just necessarily, for example, in a career in HR. You know, what else did they do besides HR? Were mm-hmm. they a program manager doing something else? That type of multifaceted group is what we need.
And we also need another kind of person, because I want to differ a little bit with you on the government has these critical missions. They have a lot of critical missions, but they have a lot of other missions too. They're all important. The key is to understand they're completely important. The new people that government's going to need for leadership is the ones who can figure out what we have to do
mm-hmm.
and stand up when people say, but this is important too and this is important too. We live through this insecurity all the time. Everybody knows everything's important, but then we do nothing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to have a smaller government. The great leadership question is, are we going to have leaders who can focus government on the things that are most important?
I have said a number of times on this show that I've been surprised that so far we have not seen representatives of the administration go to the Hill and say, listen, Mr. or Ms. Chairman, we understand our top line is going to be smaller. So here, if you're going to give us X percent of what you've been giving us in the past, and we're going to have Y percent of the people to do it with that we've had in the past, what Z percent of the mission that we perform now do you no longer expect us to perform? Not trying to be a wise guy, but this is the math question that's involved here.
But that's they're both trying to lay it on the other. So the administration people are having that discussion. They're trying to lay it on the Senate staffers, saying, well, what do you not want us to do? The Senate guys are saying, you tell us what your priorities are. Nobody wants to be the last man standing saying we're going to drop this program.
I guess it's the negotiation theory, Larry, that the first person who makes an offer loses.
Right. And it's a critical, I think Alan's exactly right. I mean, you do have those discussions. And you can even have good agreements at the staff level. You got some bright people on Senate and House staff. But then you get the members in, and they sometimes have a different perspective. And then you get right back to the ping pong that you can engage on going right up and down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Every time I see a discussion about this or have a discussion about this subject on the show, what comes back to me is the discussion that's going on in Europe. And the story just breaking this afternoon, the French finance minister says today Standard & Poor's has stripped the country, France, of its top-notch credit rating, again throwing Europe's ability to fight off its debt crisis into doubt. Now, France was one of the ones that the countries that we thought were really bad off kept going to, France and Germany, for assistance with their financial problems. Now France is being downgraded, and the stock market at least is responding this afternoon like, oh no, this is the beginning of the circling of the drain. And so I think people still are not quite aware yet or are willing to understand that we're not really doing that much better than any of these individual countries in Europe.
No, that's right. And it really is a case where, you know, France in particular, Francis, has a lot of its own debt, and they knew that some of it was very highly leveraged. They didn't have nearly the reserves that Germany did by comparison. However, you know, we shouldn't think necessarily that we're all that immune from it here on mm-hmm. this side of the Atlantic mm-hmm. either. These are issues that are going to affect the United States, even though they're happening in Europe. They should also at the same time cause us to right-size our government now before we get into a particularly critical position when really you're not making strategic decisions, you're just making tactical-level survival mission choices.
Larry, your story number two on the countdown is headlined, Air Force marks 4,500 more civilian jobs for elimination. That's one of the buyout stories that's on our buyout guide at federalnewsradio.com. In the 4 o'clock hour this afternoon, Tammy Flanagan of the National Institute of Transition Planning will be on the show to talk about the pros and cons of taking a buyout if you're offered a buyout. And in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike Causey has some pretty interesting comments about buyouts, where they're headed, where they came from, kind of a little history of buyouts and what you might expect to see over the next couple of months in government. When In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, story number one, the most important federal news story of the week, is chosen by Alan Powler of the Sands Institute and Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Kristen Lord, Vice President and Director of Studies at the Center for New American Security, commented during the panel discussion entitled Cyber Power, Which Nations Will Emerge as the Cyber Powers of the 21st Century? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
This issue of openness has been a huge boon for innovation and collaboration. It's been the driver for many of the benefits we've seen from the Internet. But at the same time, openness has been the seed of our vulnerabilities and has been the source of so many of the cyber attacks, cyber crimes that we've seen so far.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Booz Allen Hamilton believes that cybersecurity is no longer just about protecting assets, but about enabling organizations to take full advantage of the vast opportunities that the ecosystem of cyberspace now offers for business, government, and virtually every aspect of our society. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at BoozAllen.com/expertvoices.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Bob Trottier, he's a team leader for combat rations at the DoD Combat Feeding Directorate.
Jalapeno beef patty, beef taco filling, Mexican chicken stew, chicken and pesto pasta with feta cheese and tomato, ratatouille, garlic mashed potatoes, and there's also like an instant Irish cream coffee. That's just an example of some of the new items going in for this current year's production of MRE.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, In Depth with Francis Rose. Every Friday in the 3 o'clock hour features the Federal News Countdown, with two experts in the world of the federal government choosing their three most important federal news stories of the week. And we're up to
number one.
Larry Allen's most important federal news story of the week is from federalnewsradio.com. It's headlined, OMB's Jack Lew to take over as White House Chief of Staff. People had been talking about the possibility that Bill Daley would leave the White House for probably a year or so.
As long as he's been there.
Yeah, pretty much. The idea that Jack Lew would move over there now was, I think, a little bit of a shocker for people. What did you think?
Oh, no, I think it was a surprise. While Mr. Lew definitely has the president's ear, Francis, he also has a pretty important job right where he is. As the director of the Office of Management and Budget, and a lot of stuff going on. Allen referred in the last segment to the budget discussions that we're going to be having on Capitol Hill. Well, you know, traditionally, the OMB director is the administration's point person for those discussions. Now that point person is going to be over as the chief of staff to the White House. Take this movement, along with the recent departure of Dan Gordon from the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, and you begin to see where some of the administration's management agenda might start to downshift sometime fairly soon in the 2012 calendar year. On top of all that, in case people aren't convinced, some of the rumors coming out of OMB are that Jeffrey Zients, currently the Deputy Director for Management, may ascend into Lew's spot as the head of OMB. Zients, certainly a very capable guy, like his boss Lew, very well respected inside the West Wing. He also has been the administration's number one policy management person, not just in terms of acquisition policy, but in terms of other things as well. He's been the one that's really been responsible for pushing at the line level a lot of this administration's management agenda. If he ascends to the head of OMB, you will now have lost two of the senior people at OMB who did certain things and had a nice division of labor, as well as a somewhat lower level but still presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed head of your Office of Federal Procurement Policy. So you'll have some pretty key vacancies, and vacancies at a time when, at least as far as some of these jobs go, you're not going to get a lot of quick and easy confirmation out of a Senate that says, you know, what do we want to do this for the next 10 months for?
Yeah, well, and it's hard enough right now to get people. I mean, if we think back to the beginning of the administration, when you potentially were able to serve several years if you chose to do so, it was still hard sometimes for the administration to recruit people. No reflection on them. It's a reflection on the confirmation process. So to get somebody, how do you talk somebody into going through the whole process to do it potentially for 6, 8, 10 months at the very most? It's going to be hard for me to see. I want to be very clear. I wasn't implying that people should have been surprised that Jack Lew was selected to be the chief of staff at the White House. Certainly he's very capable of that job and eminently qualified and well thought of by people on both sides. I think the surprise element was that it would happen now and that somebody in the position of leading OMB a month before budget talks are supposed to begin on Capitol Hill would leave that job, that's the part that, people were telling me they were surprised by.
I don't think that this is the ideal timing for the administration for this type of move, Francis. Yeah. I think that Daley's departure kind of forced the administration's hand into making some changes that they would prefer to have pushed off for a little while. But, you know, there were issues that were inside the West Wing, only some of which we know about on the outside, that I think made Daley's tenure very short and probably less effective than anyone had hoped for. And so we have now the situation at hand.
What did you see? What did you think when you saw this all come down, Alan?
Similar to what Larry is talking about, but I actually saw this cascade. And there's another not so well-known aspect of Jeff Zients' work. He's the flyaway team, the away team for the Starship. And he's when a lot of things happen in government that are event-based. They're not nice long trends, but something goes really haywire. You need somebody really solid to go in and clean it up. And he did that job, too. And so I'm agreeing with you that, there's going to be a huge shoes to fill if you move all those people up. But I think what you'll do is you'll move some of the really good agency people over. They won't be able to handle the congressional affairs, but there's some phenomenal people in the agencies now. And some of, a couple of them will move over. It'll leave holes in the agencies, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
But I think that's how you'll deal with this year.
Yeah. The transition is going to be, there'll be a lot of it in this year. Nobody's surprised by that. But I think a lot of people that I've talked to this week have just were really surprised that it happened the way that it did and that the reaction from the White House was the way that it was, as though they were not expecting it necessarily today, expecting it to happen. Of course, as we mentioned, this is something that's kind of been cooking for a while. But the timing was rather surprising to a lot of people. The most important federal news story of the week, as selected by Larry Allen, is from federalnewsradio.com. Our Jack Moore writing under the headline, OMB's Jack Lew to take over as White House Chief of Staff. And you can find it on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Alan Paller's most important federal news story of the week next when we wrap up today's Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
WashingtonCaps.com is the destination for behind-the-scenes coverage of your Washington Capitals. Get the most comprehensive Caps coverage with in-depth previews and analysis for every game and blog, Twitter, and Facebook updates all day, every day. Check out Caps 365, where you can view all the best goals, saves, and hits and access exclusive player interviews, press conferences, and much more. Check it all out on WashingtonCaps.com and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Ari Lightman is the director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. He says federal CIOs face challenges with social media.
If you're looking at social media data as a strategic asset, it's what these communities are looking for. If you're doing stuff associated with tag correlation, you're looking for sentiment analysis, that's a big unstructured data store, and it's very difficult for CIOs to comprehend and to utilize because most of the data that they work on is structured.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In depth with Francis Rose, the Federal News Countdown every Thursday, Friday, in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm thinking Thursday because Larry Allen was on the Industry Chatter program with me yesterday. He's here again, pinch hitting for a guest that was not able to be here today, sick, and we'll reschedule that guest. And Larry, thank you very much for pinch hitting today. It's not often I have somebody on 2 days in a row, but if I've got to do it, I'm glad it's you.
Yeah, happy to be here, absolutely.
The Federal News Countdown includes the most important federal news stories of the week, as selected by this week, Larry Allen, and also Alan Paller of the Sands Institute. And Alan, your story number one is from the Newark, Delaware Post, not the most read news source in the Beltway region, but the headline is Delaware student takes first place in U.S. Cyber Foundations competition. And it mentions one of our friends when it comes to the federal operations space, that's Senator Tom Carper. The whole concept here behind the U.S. Cyber Challenge, why is this to you the most important thing going on in government this week?
It's two characteristics. One is that it wasn't just Tom Carper who went. It was also Senator Coons. It was also Governor Markell. It was also the CIO of the state. It was also the head of education of the state. And they all went to this little high school where they were celebrating four kids, but one particular kid named Gavi Agarwal, who had won a competition among 2,000 Americans on who has this talent to become cybersecurity professionals in the future. It's one of Karen Evans' great triumphs in the creation of this program called the U.S. Cyber Challenge. But what I was impressed with was the level of Washington attention. Think about two senators going out of Washington to go to see somebody. And the reason for that is, and we're hearing this from, I think, maybe 18 or 19 Senate offices, cybersecurity manpower looks like the big national need, and it's like people have discovered we're going to be in a war if we're not already, and we're going to need a lot of airplanes, and we have no pilots.
Yep.
Got a lot of people that can talk about flying. Got thousands of people that can talk about flying.
Great ideas.
But they can't fly an airplane. Or they can fly an airplane, but they can't fly it if there's weather.
Right.
Or they can fly an airplane, but they can't shoot a missile. I mean, or drop a bomb. But so This is the program, the one program in the country that is finding the talent because the colleges aren't creating it. So this is a set of competitions that thousands of kids in high school are doing, and they're huge scholarships. The Navy has set aside four-year scholarships for the kids who do well. There are thousands of dollars in scholarships the U.S. Cyber Challenge gives out. And what I saw here was this recognition that the kids who do well are important to the nation. That's why I thought it was a big story. The U.S. cannot protect its systems if it doesn't have the kind of talent that these programs are going to generate. And we had no way to get enough kids engaged. The senators getting engaged, the governors getting engaged. That's the vehicle that I think will shift this to a national strategy for improving manpower in the United States.
I'm really heartened by the creativity that people seem to be taking to this. There's the cyber challenge that Karen, as you mentioned, has been instrumental in. Frank Reeder's involved with that too, a friend of the show. a lot of folks doing a lot of interesting, creative things. You know, Melissa Hathaway, when she was here one of the last times, we talked off the air about the fact we have, she and I have sons that are about the same age, and they love to play video games. And she said, why doesn't somebody develop a video game for like Nintendo DS or something like that, that teaches you the virtues of becoming a cyber professional, where you're preventing networks from being penetrated by the bad guys, and you nab the bad guys and that kind of thing, just to kind of set the table for that thing. And I think that kind of creativity being applied to this is a really positive thing.
Oh, no, I think you're exactly right, and I think Alan's on to something big here, and you're talking significantly, I think, in this case, about some homegrown talent. It's nice to see U.S.-based talent doing something really well in a highly technical and scientific area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually you hear that the United States is 10th, you know, right behind Malaysia.
Yeah.
Not to disparage
right,
Malaysia.
Right, nothing wrong with them, but like
still,
us too.
Right, that's exactly right. So it's nice to be able to have this, and I think talking about how you identify the incoming talent that you can get into either the armed services or into the federal civilian service, so that you bring these up and have these resources and provide them with more training so that they become a tremendous asset to you, is really integral to success. Because, yeah, you can have all these great systems, but if they're vulnerable, it doesn't really mean much.
Alan, about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I had asked Gabby, this kid who won, why he was able to do it. How did he study? And it turned out that the key, and if any parent is listening to this, celebrate the time those kids are spending online, not on games, but on actually doing things on the computer, writing programs, anything that they're doing, even testing computer security tools, because that's what prepares them for this career.